I first started here, everybody had to call me Dr. Woods, all the patient, you know. And I used to say, oh, just call me Pete. And, oh, you can't do that, you know.
So would you have worn a uniform?
Go, oh, Christ, no. Well, they tried to make me wear one of these white coats initially. And I remember going down once and somebody saying, I'll have 2 Cornets and a 99, please. Which is all selling ice cream. Because when it first opened, the nurses here were in uniforms, you know. And in fairness, it wasn't called a matron then, whatever it was, came from Yorkshire. I can't remember his name now. And the first thing he did was to do away totally with uniforms, and there was resistance to it initially, but then, and now, for Christ's sake, they're back in uniforms. I can't believe it. Over the years, we worked towards establishing advocacy and self-advocacy. I remember one of the first things I did when I was appointed as the general manager stroke clinical director was to call in the then nursing officers and tell them straight away, the practice of putting people in pyjamas will cease immediately. We'll say nothing about it. Because probably you could all be prosecuted for doing what you do, but forget that. Just stop it now. And it's not the case that we'll deny. People used to be denied having their Mars bars and things like that. You do not have that control anymore. And a lot of the charge nurses and senior nurses appreciated that and implemented it. I think there were a number of key appointments, and one of them was was the appointment of Dave MacDonald. Me and Steve Hughes appointed him as head of day services, and I think he was a staff nurse when we appointed him as head. You know, there was outrage that he jumped so many. But he was a bit of a maverick, he was a bit of a lad, but his heart was in the right place. He was a bright lad because he was into sociology, and he understood about cultures and things like that. And he got like myself. He was interested in advocacy and culture of civil rights and so forth. You know, in fact, he and I linked with Paul Ramcharan in the university. And we had a research project, and yeah, I can give my version of that. I'm sure Dave would be far more eloquent. Basically, it's one of the things we tried to do is to separate kind of work, stroke, activity, day activities from residential living, just like you and I do. You know, we have our home lives and we have the place we go to work, and okay, you might fraternise with some people from work, but not everybody, and the two are separate. Initially, people stayed on their villas all day long. Many did. Something called sessional therapy and social therapy was introduced here, but they pushed that much further to a day service where people would go and do constructive things, preferably work, you know, proper occupational things, but also developing skills and so forth. And although I had involvement, he always pulls my leg about it. We started something called room management in the old sessional therapy, which was just getting as many people engaged in doing things, you know. And he used to take the mickey out of me because it was just, you know, because I was measuring things and drawing graphs and things like that. But it was... and then I always pull his leg that he banished me from day service. He didn't, you know. But essentially, he'd got it right, you know. So we left him to get on with it. And for years, they've done an excellent job. And they've done some quite innovative things here, you know. I mean, when I first started, there were two villas. Well, there were two large villas. One of them was called Villa 1 and 2. The other was Villa 3 and 4. They were two separate buildings. And they had upstairs and downstairs. they had about 60 or more in each. And most of the other villas had about 30. This was the children's villa. And when I started, I think they had about 18. And then after about, I'd been here about 10 years, we got a letter of commendation from the Welsh office saying that pleased that Bryn Mawr no longer has any children living in the hospital. And people said, oh, how did you do it? And I said, well, we just sat there and let them become adults, because that's what happened. We didn't do anything. They just became adults, and so they were no longer children. Just didn't admit any more children, you know. Although for many years, people were still admitted here for short-term care, and many came in from short-term care and never went out again, you know. No, when I first started here, I always remember in this very villa 17, okay, the charge nurse bought 30 sweaters in a variety of sizes, but all the same. I can't believe it. He just bought all the same for the residents, and they were just kept in the drawer, and when they were dressing them in the morning, just get one, see if it'll fit, and that's it. And I remember one of the nurses telling me that one of the villas was for the older ladies, and most of them wore dentures, you know. And her job was to clean the dentures at night. And she used to just put them all in one bucket and give them a good shake and then hand them out. And they were lucky if they got their own teeth back, kind of thing. Ridiculous. I don't laugh at it, but oh my God, some of the things that used to happen.